in the Bible. We're in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." The bridegroom is Christ. We're talking about when Christ returns. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. "And while they," talking about the foolish virgins, "went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Verse 11, "Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You don't know when Jesus is going to appear. You don't know, so you better be ready. And these people were not ready. And because they were not ready, then after it all taken place and they saw that their Christian friends were taken, then they said, "Lord, now we're ready." But he said, "No, no deal. You were supposed to be ready beforehand." There are so many people who have considered Christ. They have. They've thought about it. They've watched other people's lives. They've heard messages. They've read the Bible. And they've considered Christ. But for whatever reason, they have put off that decision to receive him as their Savior. A British paper reported in 2010 the shock of a wedding party in Russia when the groom's friend pulled out a gun and he wanted to play the game of Russian roulette at the wedding. Russian roulette's a lethal game, if you didn't know it. It's a game of chance in which a person using a revolver with one bullet in it spins the cylinder, points the muzzle at his head, and pulls the trigger. If the trigger only holds six bullets and there's only one bullet, then you have a 1 in 6 chance that you'll be killed. And they pass the gun around, spin the cylinder, and fire. That news story reported that the friend pulled the trigger and nothing happened. And then he said, with a kind of a twinkle in his eye, "Well, it doesn't have any bullets in it." And he handed it to another guest who did the same thing, only to the horror of the bride and the groom and their family and everybody at the wedding, the gun did have a bullet in it and killed him in front of everybody. And a joyous occasion became a dismal one. I spoke on this in Alabama one time in 2013, and a family came up to me after the service and said that their daughter had been killed playing this game of Russian roulette. Russian roulette is almost the ultimate game of chance, with the stakes nearly as high as they get, physical death. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Almost the ultimate game of chance. And the stakes nearly as high as they get. I mean, because there is a game of chance that people play that has much greater stakes. And that is the ultimate game of chance. And some of you may have played that game, and you may be playing it this morning. It's Russian roulette with your soul. With your soul. Here's how it works. Every time they hear the gospel message, they spin the cylinder, they put it off, "I'm not going to receive Christ," and they pull the trigger. They say, "A more convenient day. Yes, sir, a more convenient day, and I'll receive Christ as my Savior." And they spin the cylinder and they fire. They say, "I'll get saved the next time that I hear. I need a little more time. And they spin and they fire. They say, you've almost convinced me, but I just want to take more time. And they spin the cylinder and they put it off again. They procrastinate again and they fire. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Listen, you don't have, and I don't have, the promise of tomorrow.
Right.
All right? We're living today, but only God knows our times. And we don't have the promise. Today could be my last day or your last day. Today is the day of salvation if you haven't received Christ as your Savior. God is calling you today. Today. Tomorrow may be too late. In every one of us, there's a soul. And that soul is going to live on forever somewhere. You and I have three appointment deadlines that will govern when we can come to Christ. Three appointment deadlines. If we wait beyond any of these three expiration dates, then his offer is off and we cannot get saved. We will burn in hell forever. Now, none of us want that. In fact, we don't even like to hear about it. And I don't like to preach about it, except it is the truth. And we need to know the truth, and we need to face the truth. So this morning, examine the three appointment deadlines with me as I preach on Russian roulette. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus now, you have divine appointments for us. This is one of them. I thank you, Lord, for this friend day. Thank you for everyone who's here today, and there could be some who have never received Christ as Savior. And Lord, you have wonderful opportunity that you're offering to them today, and I pray that they'll take advantage of that. I pray today, Lord, they'll say yes to you and receive Christ as Savior. Some may have backslidden. I pray this will be a great day for them as they come back today. Have your way. Speak to every one of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll look at three appointments, and our message is over today. Appointment number one, the soon appearance of Christ. That is, Jesus Christ, when he went away, said, I'll come back for you someday. John chapter 14, he said, I'm coming again. In our text, in Matthew 25, we learn that when the bridegroom, which is Christ, came, they're picturing this in the future, some were ready and some were not. And some in this building today are ready and some are not. Those not ready were left behind without a second chance. You say, that's not very nice of God to do that, nice of Christ to do that. Wait a minute. We have a Bible, and the Bible explains to us what we need to do. How many chances does he have to give to us? Jesus will soon appear, according to the Bible, in the clouds of the air, and he'll call all of his believers to join him in the air and to go to heaven with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There are a lot of verses in the Bible that teach this truth. I want to read some of them to you so you can hear and be convinced yourself. In John 14 and verse 3, Jesus is talking here, and he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he's coming back for us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This is the angel talking to them. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And how they saw him go into heaven was up in the clouds. They watched him as he faded out into the clouds, and he's going to come back the same way to the clouds. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so Jesus is going to make an appearance at some time in the future, and it's getting closer. The pandemic pointed out many of the signs that are spoken of in the Bible are very possible in our day. And so go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 if you have your Bible. However, if that occurs and you're not ready, you have squandered your opportunity to be saved. It's too late. Listen to what 2 Thessalonians 2 says. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is talking about the Antichrist, the one world ruler who will soon come on the scene, but he's not going to come on the scene until after Christ appears and we're taken out of here as Christians. In verse 10, he'll appear in verse 9. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They're going to be deluded into thinking that the Antichrist is really Christ, and that they need to follow him and do whatever he tells them to do. In verse 12, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen, if you had the opportunity to be saved and you refused, you procrastinated, you put it off, when Jesus appears, God will make sure that you're deceived by the coming regime of the Antichrist, and you will be damned, and there will not be another chance. You will have passed the deadline for you to be saved, and you will have heard your last gospel message that touches your heart, and the last friend that you had in this world that knew Jesus, that was trying to bring you to Christ, will be gone, and you won't hear from them again. And the tugging of your heart that God is working on you to bring you to Christ, that tugging by the Holy Spirit to go forward and receive Christ will have happened for the last time. There will be no more tugging. It'll all be over. God's offer of salvation will no longer be on the table. Your destination will be determined at that time. It's as though you've spun the cylinder and you've aimed and fired the pistol into your own heart, and you lost. The chamber was full. Let me be quick to say, Christ hasn't come yet. To God be the glory. You can still get saved. You can still come to Christ, have all of your sins washed away, be forgiven of your sins, given a new life, given a name of Christian, and that you will go to heaven, an appointment one day that you'll get to go to heaven. That can still happen. Don't play another game of chance today by putting off salvation again. You say, well, those who play Russian roulette, preacher, they really burn me up. They are so selfish, and they're so unreasonable and irresponsible. Don't they value life? But I ask you, don't you value eternal life? You say, don't those people spinning that cylinder think about how their decision will leave a void in their family and their friends? But I ask you this morning, don't you ever think of what you're putting your family and your friends through, facing all eternity without you? They want the circle to be unbroken. They want the whole family in heaven, and you won't give it to them because you won't come to Christ. How can there be comfort when you pass off the scene if you rejected salvation through Christ, when you know that there's a hell? With Christ about to appear, in a very real sense, you're playing Russian roulette with your soul if you put off being saved today. At the invitation, after this message, someone in this crowd ought to rise and come forward and say, I'm not playing Russian roulette anymore with my soul. I'm not putting this decision off. I've thought about it. There were times along in my life where I've thought about it. I need to receive Christ as my Savior. I need my sins to be forgiven under the blood of Christ that he sacrificed for me on the cross. I'm not playing Russian roulette with my soul anymore. Wonder if you ever thought about this? God the Father knows the date of Christ's return. There's a date set. Well, it might be July 17th, 2025. I don't know. It might be October the 1st of this year. I don't know. It might be today. I don't know. And you don't know. Now, that means that if you do not know that you're saved and Jesus could come today, you'd be forever lost without God, without hope, without heaven. You're spinning a cylinder. You're aiming that thing at your heart, and you're gambling that you'll have another chance, and you may not. You're putting your soul at risk. You're gambling a lot more than the farm. You're gambling with your soul. Someday, you would plunge into hellfire and torment forever and ever without any hope of escape. Are you kidding me? Would you gamble with your soul? You're playing Russian roulette. Remember that date of judgment in Noah's day was already set before Noah began to preach. And when God shut the door on the ark, they had played Russian roulette for the last time, and they're all outside the ark, and it begins to rain, and they can't get in the ark, and they all drown. And the Father knows the day the Son will appear. According to Mark 13:32, he knows. It's already determined. And as sure as I'm preaching this morning, if you aren't saved when Christ arrives, you'll be eternally lost. And it'll be too late. And I don't want that for your soul. I sure hope you don't want that for your soul. We have prayed as a church. My wife and I have prayed for this day, that those who would show up who haven't got it settled yet would come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and do something about it. We're praying for that end. I'm preaching about Russian roulette. The first two Sundays, we were on the road, and that was in 2013. We left our church, and we started preaching all over America. First two Sundays, someone quit playing Russian roulette and came forward after I preached to receive Christ as Savior. A man in Pittsburgh came to receive Christ. Three teenagers in Maryland, an eight-year-old in Harrisburg, five folks in an Arabic church that I preached through an interpreter in Phoenix, came forward to receive Christ. Three and a church in Texas came forward to receive Christ, three in Los Angeles, the north side, two in Manila, two in Australia. Listen, the first appointment deadline is the return of Christ. I wonder, are you ready? You could be one who receives Christ as your Savior today. He will appear. The second appointment. If Christ doesn't return in your lifetime, the second deadline that you will face to receive Christ is your death. When you die, you can't be saved after you die. Nobody's going to pray you out of hell. Doesn't work that way. There's not one shred of evidence of that in the Bible, not one. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, here's what it teaches us. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Each of us has an expiration date. I don't know when mine is, and you don't know when yours is. There's written in heaven some date of my departure and a date of your departure. Maybe you will not die until May the 1st of 2025, or maybe it will be December 29th of this year. But we don't know. And because we don't know, we have an appointment that's coming when we will no longer live this life and we'll no longer have the opportunity to receive Christ. I'm reasoning with you. You have to see that that's true. Every person under the sound of my voice is going to die, me included. We don't like to think about it. In fact, we'd rather just block that all out like it's not true, but it is true. It's a sobering thought. There is a set date. It's time that you face that fact and that you prepare for it. A woman came to a preacher one day complaining that she couldn't get her daughter to come to the Lord. She's concerned about her daughter. The preacher invited the woman to bring her daughter to him, and he would talk to her. When he met the daughter, he said, "Now, you've been bothered a good deal about this matter of your soul's salvation, haven't you?" And she nodded, "Yes, I have." Suppose I say to your mother that you don't want to be talked to about this matter again for a whole year. How would that suit you? And the Scottish gal hesitated a moment and then replied, "Well, I don't think that would be safe to put off the matter for a whole year. Something might happen and I might die before then, and then it would be too late." The preacher said, "That's true. That's a good point. So let's not do that. Let's say that we put off her talking to you for 6 months." And the daughter didn't even think that that would be safe. 6 months, you know, I might die, and then I would be lost forever. So I don't think 6 months is a good idea. The preacher said, "Well, then what about 3 months? And after a brief hesitation, the daughter replied, "You know, I don't think it's safe to put it off at all." And she knelt with him there and was wonderfully saved that very day. That moment, she quit spinning the cylinder when she said, "I'm not willing to put it off any longer." You don't have plenty of time. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Translation, today may be your last, and you better be ready when it is the last. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We read in the Bible of a man who thought he had plenty of time, whom God warned that it was his last day. We listen to their conversation and God's instructions for him. "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He's ready to kick back now. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He hasn't considered that there's an almighty maker, an almighty creator that he has to answer to one day. God said this man, who was so careful to plan ahead, probably had retirement planned, had investments set up, and so forth, neglected to plan for eternity. Eternity. And God called that man a fool. You know, death and taxes are certain. The difference is, you know when the taxes are due. And you don't know when death is coming. The oldest man who ever lived was Methuselah. We read about him in the Bible. And the Bible says he lived 969 years back in the days when you could do that. But then he died. Everybody is going to die. Sir or ma'am, when you face the appointment deadline of death, will you be ready? I'm reasoning with you this morning. Please take it that way. Will you be ready? It's important that you are. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? I didn't ask if you're a Baptist. That's not the issue. I didn't ask if you did good works or if you were baptized or if you went to church. Do you know Christ as your Savior and Lord? Or this morning, are you spinning the cylinder as you prepare to play another round of the ultimate game of chance with your soul? I'm preaching about Russian roulette. There's the appointment deadline of the appearance of Christ, which could occur at any moment. When he comes, there'll be no second chance. There's the appointment deadline of death, which could occur at any moment in your life or mine. And when it comes, there's no second chance. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. The third appointment deadline that you may face is the time when the Spirit of God says, I will convict your heart no more. When you don't feel that tugging anymore, there isn't any interest anymore. You hear the preacher, it just goes right over your head. That's when the Father says, I will draw you no more to my Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 and verse 14. The poet captured that thought as he wrote, there is a line unseen by us, a place I know not where, that marks the destiny of man between glory and despair. You don't want to cross that line. The scriptures say it this way, and the Lord in Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Exodus 7:13, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh was, tempted to let the children of Israel go. And every time something happened, he said, yeah, you can go. And then he kept putting it off and putting it off. He never would let them go. And the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Hosea 4 and verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. I'm not going to deal with Ephraim again. If he wants to go that way, I'm done. The line is drawn. It's over. There's no more conviction coming. Three times in Romans chapter 1, it says, God gave them up. It says that he gave them over. He quit convicting them and prompting them to be saved. Listen, It's the blessing of the hand of a loving God that convicts us of our sin and tries to draw us to himself to be saved. God's under no obligation to continue to call you to salvation and endure your rude replies and foolish spinning of the cylinder and taking the chance again. He doesn't owe you or me anything. He has given us everything that we need to come to him. You may ignore his warnings, and he give you another opportunity later, but there is no guarantee that that will happen. There is a time, we know not when he says, enough. I've given that man, I've given that woman enough opportunities. I love them. I want them to be cleansed. I want them to be saved. I want them to come to my heaven one day when they die. I don't want them to go to hell. But they don't want it. They refuse it. And God says it's enough. And you no longer are prompted or convicted to be saved. And God says, let him alone. Let her alone. If that day comes, you just fired a full chamber, and it's over. You've wasted your eternal soul. The great 19th century preacher, D.L. Moody, was burdened for this 39-year-old man in his Bible class, the only one who wasn't saved. When he urged him to be saved, the man replied, "Listen, Mr. Moody, I'm going to go out west, and after I've made my fortune out west, when I return, I promise you that I will accept Christ." And he turned away from Mr. Moody, and he wouldn't get saved. The young man was taken ill, and at the hospital, Mr. Moody visited him and again dealt with him. But he said, "I'm going west, I've told you, and when I come back, I'll become a Christian." He wanted to become a Christian on his terms. That's not how it works. The young man recovered. Mr. Moody had one more chance as the man prepared to leave to go west. This time he put his hand on the young man's shoulder, urging him about the claims of Christ, that he could be forgiven. But the man shook his hand, Mr. Moody's hand, off of him, said, "Mr. Moody, never speak to me about my soul's salvation again. I have promised you to make that decision when I return, and I'm not going to do it before that. Goodbye." That very night, the man's wife knocked loudly on Mr. Moody's door and awakened him. She pleaded with him to come because her husband was taken desperately sick. As Mr. Moody entered their home and approached the bed where the man was, he could hear him saying two words over and over again. "Too late. Too late. Too late." Mr. Moody tried to talk to him again, but the man was oblivious that he was even there or what he was saying, and just kept repeating, "Too late." And within a few minutes, he passed on. Dear friend, if Christ doesn't return, and he could, don't forget, at any time, his return is imminent. And if you don't die, as you could at any time, and I could too, there is a deadline when God withholds his drawing power and you no longer sense the urging to be saved. If, as you sit here today, you still sense that urging, this morning you're pricked in your conscience and there's a conviction that's come on you, however faint it is, you ought to quickly respond to his grace before he decides to withdraw it, before he says, "Let him alone," before he says, "I'm not going to strive with her. I'm not going to strive with him anymore." Don't play that ultimate game of chance with your soul any longer. Refuse to procrastinate again today. If God is drawing you today, you come and experience salvation firsthand. You'll be so glad you did. Your first day in salvation will be better than every day you've ever lived. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood for you. We should have had to go to hell for our sins, but he suffered our hell for us. He leaves it up to us now to repent of our sins and receive him as Savior. Don't play Russian roulette with your